Greetings. It is the great one himself, the founder, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. You can send me email at God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Oh boy, do I have stories. Man, so we just finished a gig. Just finished it about an hour ago. Went out, walked around. We're in another city. Went out, walked around a little bit. Went past this bar, looked in the door. It's St. Patrick's Day, by the way, so there's a bunch of shamrock whores running around. Looked in the door of this bar, and there's this attractive woman wearing shorts, cute butt. I assume she's the bartender. Standing on the bar, pouring drinks in people's glasses out of a bottle. I'm like, hey, I guess that's what goes on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know, because I don't really go out to bars at night, especially not on St. Patrick's Day. Say, great one. You said you had some stories. Is that one of them? No, they're better than that. All right, so we got two kinds of stories. We got girls and we got work. Let's start with girls. We'll do the important one first. And then we'll do the work one. This will be for Aaron Clary, who loves my stories about work. Okay, Clary, you're going to love this one. So make sure you're not doing bench presses because you are going to laugh your fucking ass off. Do not be doing bench presses when you listen to this story. Girls, so we're at this hotel doing this event. And there are three babes here who are just delicious. Oh my God. So the quandary is, which one do I hit on, or do I hit on all of them? But you know, it's like, well, all right, so prioritize. Which one do you hit on first? So I finally made a decision. And it was the cute one, the cute blonde with the curly hair. She's got long curly hair. So the first day we're here, she's running around and I'm running around. Yeah, I talked to her a couple of times just in passing. She seemed very nice. Day two is the day of the event. So now everything is full swing and she's working on the event. So she's in the room. Everything's in full swing. We're doing everything. It's coming down and we had our scissor lift still in the room. And it was time to get the scissor lift out of the room. So I'm driving the lift out of the room. And one of the guys who works at the hotel is helping me. He's holding the doors open because we got to get it in the back and hide it in the hallway. And she's coming by and the guy's like, hey, help hold this door open for us. And she's holding the door and she says, well, I want to drive that thing. And I said, you want to drive it? She said, yeah. I said, well, come on up. Dude, driving scissor lifts are like chick magnets. Heavy equipment. Chicks love heavy equipment. I'm telling you, man. I'm like, well, come on up in here. I'll let you drive it. She's like, really? I'm like, yes, really. I'm like, oh, you're a cute girl. Oh, God, no. I would never let you get in this scissor lift in a confined area with me so that, you know, we're practically up against each other. Not practically. We are up against each other, touching body to body as I show you how to drive the scissor lift. No, I would never do that. Of course I'm fucking serious, right? So I'm like, yes, come on. So she climbs up in the scissor lift and we're driving down the hallway and we're having a good time. And then she stops because she almost ran into the wall. I mean, it was safe. I was watching her. There was no real danger, but to her bosses who were watching, who don't know what's going on, they may have perceived that there was real danger, but it was perfectly safe. I'm that freak. You know when you're at a hotel and you're walking through the parking lot and you see some guy sitting in his car of the parking lot talking to himself? That's me right now. Because I'm sharing a room with another guy. All right, that's a work story. I'll save that. All right, so anyway, the night progresses and everything's going on. Oh, and she's a bartender. She's bartending that night. She says, thanks for letting me drive. Come by my bar. I'll give you a free drink. I'm like, sure, I'll take a free drink. So far, it's going terrible. Go over there and I'm chatting her up and I say, all right, I got to go work. And I go back over. I'm like, all right, I'm here for my free drink and we're talking. So I'm trying out. I'm doing this. This is the new line. I'm trying this out on all the chicks. I said, I have to ask you, are you single? And she gets this little look on her face of disappointment. She says, I'm sorry, I am. And I said, well, it's nothing to be sorry about. She says, well, I know that's true. She says, but I'm really flattered. Thank you so much. And I said, you're welcome. And she says, I love the way you're rocking that long hair. Which, that's what she said, rocking the long hair. And I said, because now we went into that spiral where you have to compliment each other. But it was true. I said, I love your hair. Because she's got long, blonde, curly hair. Ah, oh, it's just fucking gorgeous, man. Just beautiful hair. So we spiraled and complimented each other for a little bit. And I went on about my business and came back over. And I said, you know, I'm pretty sure. I chatted her a little bit. And I said, how did I say it? Oh, this was pretty good. She gave me credit on this. I'm drinking a beer right now also. I said, I've thought this over really hard. And she's looking at me like, you know, she's got this expression. She's looking at me. She's like, oh, what's coming? I've thought this over really hard. I think you owe me another free drink because you have a boyfriend. And she laughs and she says, that's very clever. I will give you another free drink. guys, you just gotta have a little personality. It goes a long way. It really does. And that was that. And we, you know, it event's over. She's busy. I'm busy. And then I'm getting the fuck out of there because I'm tired. So that was it. Girl number two. And the first day, I talked to her a little bit. She seemed really friendly. Gorgeous. She's got some accent, like Eastern European type accent. She looks kind of Eastern European. So she might, because this is a college town, she might be here for college. Maybe she is from some Eastern European country. Oh, then girl number one, she's going to college. And what the hell? Oh, God, she's majoring in hospitality and resort management. Oh, yes. I should carry around copies of the book Worthless by Aaron Cleary, the young person's indispensable guide to choosing a college major. I should get like 10 copies of that book and just carry it around with me. And I'd be like Johnny Appleseed of the Worthless Degree Awareness. Girl number two, accent, cute, long blonde hair, but pulled up in like a little bun in the back. Oh, just beautiful facial features. Just genetic masterpiece. Day one, she was friendly. We talked a little bit or anything like that. So day two, I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she's a little standoffish. I'm like, she's just like, hi, and nothing else. And I'm reading the body language and the vocal tonality. And I was like, I think the chances on this one are excruciatingly low. And later on, because I wanted to test my theory, I asked her, are you single? And she said, yes. And I said, really? I'm surprised. And she says, oh. And I said, what did I say? Could I talk you into joining me for breakfast tomorrow morning? And she says, no. I'm not replicating the tone of voice accurately. It wasn't pissiness or anger or disgust. It was just like, just completely disinterested. And so the point of this, why are you telling us these stories, great one? Because first of all, I like girls and I like to brag about it. But also because my dream, my hope, my fantasy, my masturbatory fantasy is that even though I hate everyone on the planet Earth and I don't care about any of you, man, it's getting, all right, I got the heater running. It's actually starting to get hot in here now. Because it's a little chilly here tonight. Plus the wind is blowing and I can't see anything. Off there, okay, there we go. Telling these stories for any young boys out there, or even not so young. If you're terrified of talking to girls, here's why I'm telling these stories. Okay? Number one, if the great one can do it, you can do it. Number two, for the people out there, and they do exist, I know, because for most of my life, I was one of, well, I should say most of my life, actually. For a chunk of my life, I fell into this category. I always had this fear in the back of my brain. I think I had this worst case scenario thing. I had these very over-exaggerated fears of talking to girls, right? And so asking them something like, are you single? Would you like to go out? Whatever. Like they would, I don't know, like they would scream and shoot me or taser me or something like that. You know, I had just had these exaggerated fears. And I tell these stories because, no, I mean, you're either, you know, either you're just going to get a, most of the time, you're going to get a polite or semi-polite refusal. I mean, I've only gotten, in recent memory, by recent memory, I'm going to, like, the last couple of years, I can only right offhand remember one time a chick, like, really got snotty with me. So look, you're either going to get just a polite or only semi-rude refusal, which is great because she's telling you no, she's not wasting your time, you can move the fuck on. Or you'll get a yes and maybe something will happen, like she will agree to meet you and then flake out. Not that that's ever happened to me. No, oh God, no. Girls have never, ever said they would go out. Well, yes, Tuesday would be great. And then Tuesday rolls around and all, you know. Anyway. Or, you know, you'll get something like I did with girl number one, where they're flattered and you have some fun and you just chat with them and it's a good time. Girl number three, she's older. She's outside my normal demographic. Both of these girls were 20, 21, I would say. The girl bartending must be 21 because I think you have to be 21 to bartend in Colorado. The other one was probably 20, 21. Girl number three is early 30s. Really nice voice. I like it when a chick has, and I don't really know how to describe the kind of voice I like. It's easy to describe, like curly red hair. Ooh, yeah. But she had great voice. Very pretty. Not great body for a mid-30s woman. Chatting, I mean, I knew she was married because she's got a ring with a rock on it. But I was chatting with her. She's got a kid, a four-year-old son. Yeah, four-year-old son. Didn't hit on her, but certainly thought about it. Now, if I see her tomorrow, this is what I'm going to try because I thought about it. Because I can't ask her, are you single? Here's a question. This is a serious question. Have we, because, okay, you can ask a girl, are you single? Do you have a boyfriend? Whatever. Now that open marriages are becoming a thing, have we reached a point yet? Is it okay to ask, like, a woman to just say, hey, I see you're married. Do you have an open marriage? Have we hit that point yet, or are we still not supposed to bridge that publicly? Because who knows? Dude, she might be in an open marriage, or she might want a boyfriend on the side that the husband doesn't know about. The great one has no problem with that. Because the great one treats women as adults who are agents and can make their own decisions, which is odd because the great one is also the first one to argue that women are not agents and cannot make their own decisions. It's a conflict. I know. I understand that. Anyway, here's what I think I'm going to ask her, except I've already forgotten it now. Because I was walking around and I was thinking about this and trying to figure out how could I bridge this. I'm going to say something like this. You great one, why are you giving us these exact quotes? Hey, I'm just trying to give you guys some fucking ideas. Go out and stop listening to me yelling at the internet and go talk to some fucking girls. Jesus Christ, guys. They're not going to bite you. And even if they do, most of them don't have rabies or anything. Now, sexually transmitted diseases, yeah, the young girls. Oh, and then girl number one, Also, I asked her, I was trying to con her, and I said, so you sure you can't go to breakfast with me tomorrow morning? Tomorrow is Sunday. She says, no, I have to go to church. I'm like, all right, you know? So she might still be a leftist and go to church, because nowadays you can do that. But it's like, all right, she goes to church. She's a very nice, good personality, sense of humor, pretty, beautiful hair. It's like, that's an all right girl. Her boyfriend is might be doing pretty good for himself there. Don't turn. I turn off the engine and the lights come on in the truck. I hate modern automobiles where everything is electric and automated and all this other shit. The only thing I like about this truck is, all right, you can go off anytime now, lights, is the automatic headlights. You can just put it in automatic mode and never have to worry about turning them on or off. No, I'm serious. Lights, you can go off. Thank you. I'm going to try something like this. I'm going to say, there's something I really have to tell you, and I'm pretty sure that you are mature enough to take this in the spirit that it's offered. You are really, really adorable. Something like that. I think I'm going to try that if I see her and just see what happens. You never know. She might bite me. I don't think she has rabies. I mean, I've seen her the last 3 days and she hasn't been foaming at the mouth or anything. So I think it's safe. All right. Are we ready for some stories about the idiots I work with? Oh my God. Oh my God. All right, so let's start with, I'm going to save the best one for last. Because Aaron might be in the middle of doing a fucking set of bench presses right now or something. So we got to give him time to finish off. So I'm staying in a hotel room with Kane. And normally when we do big gigs like this where we run the show, I would be the stage manager. And Kane would be a stage hand running around doing stuff. And somebody else would be doing lighting design. Well, we, the company, Weyland-Yutani, is finally moving towards going where I want to go, which is me being the lighting designer, which is also brutal because especially for a while there, for that sucking 6 weeks, it was great because we had Ellen to help me out and she was fucking fantastic. But then, you know, the facade crumbled, the front game came to an end. So now she's gone. So now it's back to me doing all of the fucking lighting work by myself. This gig almost killed me. We had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The event was Saturday night. And, oh man, Thursday, we worked until we got here and loaded into the place at 11:30 a.m. And I worked until 5:30 the next morning. Slept for 3 hours, came back down and went right back into it and wrapped up that night at 1:30 in the morning. Last night, I actually got a solid 7 hours of sleep. I had to, otherwise there's no way I could have actually run the gig. Because I can't run a lighting gig on 3 hours of sleep. That's just not feasible. So it brutalized me. I was exhausted, but I barely got through it. Oh my God, then we did this thing. I set up this great special effect that had smoke and lights and shit, and it was supposed to happen twice at this specific time during the event. And then, I'm not giving you details, but God damn it, the specific events, the two specific events that were supposed to happen that were going to trigger all of the special effects, they fucking didn't happen. And I'm just, I was so pissed, because this was like 2 fucking hours of my day, putting all this together and setting it up and troubleshooting it. And then it didn't even fucking get used. Oh, I had anger. I had so much fucking anger. You bastards. So anyhow,
since I'm doing the lighting design, or rather I should say since I am the light board operator tonight, that meant Kane, as being next in chain of command, he had to take over as stage manager. He had never done this before. And everything, well, how hard can it be to be a stage manager? I mean, oh, yeah, well, we found out tonight, didn't we? He's coming up to me. He's going, hey, great one. Well, when are these things supposed to get spun around? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm the light board operator. That's a stage manager. You need to figure that out. So, well, when is this supposed to happen? Because it's not in the script, but it has, but that's a stage. You got to do that. He's like, well, we need the radios. Where are the radios at? I'm like, getting the comm systems and distributing them to the crew. That's a stage manager function. You need to do that. He's like, well, but I got all this other stuff I need to do. I'm like, whoa, hey, dude, I'm not the one who gave the crew today off. You did that. Well, I thought I'd be finished. I said, well, you made a bad decision, didn't you? I'm like, you know, I said, well, then we had one girl coming in, Lambert, was coming in to do running crew. And Lambert was supposed to show up at 2 p.m. And she didn't show up until after 4 p.m. because Kane told Ash to tell Lambert to come to work at 2. Because Kane still hasn't fucking learned you don't tell other people to do shit when you're in a fucking management position. You have to fucking tell them yourself. You have to tell them directly. You have to tell them via email or text message where you have a goddamn paper trail that you fucking told them. So I don't really know that he's learning any lessons because he's been trying to run the crew for over a year now and he's still fucking up regularly with shit like this. So yeah, he's getting his ass whipped. And he keeps coming to me with all these questions and stuff. And I'm just like, dude, that is a stage manager problem. I am the light board operator. I got my own problems right now because I'm still programming the goddamn show. Which I was. And then I have to add in all these special effects and program that into the system, which didn't get used. Thank you for killing two. Actually, God, it was more than 2 hours of my life because I did the It's more like 3 hours of my life because the fucking programming didn't work. At least I couldn't figure it out. Then later on, I figured out why. Because the device has DMX channels for the different colors, but then it also has a fucking master dimmer, and you gotta turn the master dimmer up, or the fuck, and it does it. It's like, God damn it. Anyhow, that was my life there. And Kane got a fucking rude awakening as he discovered that being a stage manager is a lot more work than being a stage hand. Being a stage hand means sitting around looking at your cell phone 70% of the time. And then I'm like, hey, Kane, we got a queue coming up in 5 minutes. And he's wandering around talking. I'm like, hey, man, we have a queue coming up in 5 minutes. He's like, oh, do we? I'm like, yeah, do you have your people? You're supposed to have a person over there by the stage and send him on stage in 5 minutes. Oh, it's like, yeah, you got to go fucking find him. You got to go get him over on stage, right? You got to be ready. You got to call the shit. It's like, you got to call your fucking cue. I'm getting no fucking cue calls here. Do you want me to do the fucking lights or am I just supposed to fucking look at my cell phone? So anyhow, well, you know, he got an education. Okay. Aaron, stop lifting weights now. All right, Parker. So the day we're loading in, usually in the ballrooms of hotels, there's somebody's always playing their music through the sound system while you're working. Usually it's one of the employees. And everybody's getting ready to leave. And the guy, the AV guy there, he's like, hey, great one. You want to put your music on through the system? I'm like, yeah, I'll put some stuff on. So I plug in my computer and I put on some fucking trance music. You guys know the trance that I've been linking to in Linkage. I put on some trance music. I'm jamming to my trance. And the rest of the crew is working. And Parker starts whining about the music. Now, Parker is one of these douchebags. I've talked about this before. Not lately, but I've talked about this. There's a lot of people on the planet Earth that need to be exterminated. But if we were making categories and prioritizing the extermination, the number one people who need to be exterminated are people who throw trash out of the windows of their cars while they're driving down the road. The number two level of people that need, group of people, I should say, that need to be exterminated are people who play music on their cell phones, not with headsets, so it only affects them, but they turn their cell phone music on and stick it in their pocket or sit it down and make everyone around them suffer and listen to their shitty music. Well, Parker is one of those people. Parker can't function if he doesn't have some shitty music playing. So he's always got his fucking cell phone music playing. And thus, for the first time, and this is the thing, see, I hate other people's music. I fucking hate other people's music. And therefore, because this is how things work in Ancapadice, you do unto others as you do unto you, right? You respect other people with the respect you expect to receive in return, right? I don't steal things from other people because I expect other people to not steal from me. Excuse me. I don't subject other people to my music, especially not at work. If I'm listening to my music at work and there's other people around, I do it with the headphones. Every once in a great while. Or if we're driving the vehicle, that's a given. Now, when you're driving the vehicle, the driver gets to choose the music unless he, I would say, or she, but we don't let women drive because we know how women drive. He, the driver, gets to choose the music, and everyone else has to suffer unless the driver turns the music choice over to somebody else, right? That's a given. That's a whole different world. But when you're in the workplace, I don't play my music and make other people suffer to it because I don't want to suffer to theirs. But on this particular time, I said, you know what? For example, I've worked at Weyland-Yutani for over 6 years. The number of times I have ever played my music through the sound system while we were on a job site has been never. And I'm like, you know what? I'm overdue for this because other people have occasionally played their music. I mean, other people on the Weyland-Yutani crew have played their music through the sound system or whatever on site before. I'm like, you know what? It's my fucking turn. It is. It's my turn. I'm doing this. Everyone else has gotten to do it. I've suffered through it. Now we're going to suffer through my music. Parker starts fucking whining. And you know, he's not whining to me, but he's whining to the other people he's working with about how bad the music is. So finally, he comes walking up to me and he says, how did he start it off? He's like, where's this music? He says, where's this music controlled from? I said, well, it's coming from my computer. He's like, well, can you change it? And I just looked at him and I said, no. And I don't know how to describe my tone of voice or the expression on my face. And I don't really know how to describe the expression on his face. And he says, oh, okay. Or his tone of voice. But what I conveyed with my expression and my tone of voice was, I'm about to rip your fucking head off and shit down your neck. Like, I conveyed, because he got it. I could tell from his expression, he got it. I conveyed to him the absolute fucking disdain that I have for him. Remember, this is the guy with the fucking caseworker, and he's got the daughter by the woman he wasn't married to, but he's divorced from another woman, and he lost his driver's license, and it got revoked or something, and then he had to get, yeah, I'm like, I just despise everything about this piece of parasitical shit. And I conveyed that to him in the one fucking word, no. And he got it. He took a step back and he fucking turned around and walked off because I was ready to fucking kill him. This isn't the good part of the story yet. This is the background. And actually, this doesn't necessarily, I can't call it background. This is just what happened before the good part. Okay. Day ends, Parker and the rest of the crew Kane and I are staying here at the hotel where the event is happening. Parker and the rest of the crew are going back to the shop, and they're taking, we have a 26-foot box truck. Okay, so they drive the truck back to, all right, so next day, Kane and I get a text message from Dallas. Dallas says, you know, what time did the guys leave last night? And I'm like, about 1 o'clock in the morning or something. I'm like, why? What's up? Okay, so let me just, without all the interpretations and back and forth, let me tell you the story. This morning, Dallas shows up at our shop. And he goes into the front office and he goes through the door into the back office. Or not the back office. The back storeroom where everything is stored. And the lights are turned off. But there's light coming into the building. He's like, what the fuck? So he walks back. Okay. Last night, this morning, when Parker got back and he backed the box truck back up into the dock, he backed the box truck through the garage door. He hit the garage door and the truck penetrated like a foot and a half into the door, ripped the garage door and the rollers off of the fucking wall. So Dallas calls Parker and says, hey, did you know you backed the truck through the door? And Parker says, no, I didn't. And he says, well, why is the truck sticking through the fucking door and the door ripped off the fucking wall? And then Parker says, oh, well, maybe I did, but I didn't know I did any damage. My God. And then and there was some more back and forth. And finally, Parker says, oh, by the way, I'm quitting. I'm not coming to work anymore. And he's just like, God damn it. You backed the fucking truck through the door. And then you fucking deny you backed the truck through the door. We have cameras. There's cameras. There's footage because Dallas pulled the footage. There's footage of the truck. Like we needed video footage to prove the truck was backed through the door when the truck is fucking backed through the goddamn door. I mean, this is what I'm dealing with here. People who drive a fucking truck through a goddamn door and then fucking say, I didn't do that. Well, who the fuck did it? The goddamn theater fairies? The fucking Russians? I mean, who? You what? Really? Do you think the fucking Russians hacked the goddamn truck and drove it through the goddamn door? Fucking Christ. It is really hard to find good help. People are dumber than fuck. I didn't do that. So there it is, man. Cute girls. Dumb employees. Cute girls. Dumb employees. Cute girls. I'm focusing on the cute girls. I really am. Because cute girls are fucking awesome. I like cute girls. They're cute. They smell good. They're cute. They have nice hair. They're cute. They're pretty. They're cute. And did I mention that they're cute? Backing a truck through a door. Not cute, but very funny. Oh, see, and this is going to cost, what, $1,000 or something to repair? I don't know how much it costs to fucking repair a fucking roll-up door. It's going to cost at least $1,000. You know, and you people out there, I mean, remember, Parker is the same guy who came to Dallas asking for a fucking raise after having worked there for 3 months or whatever. Like, really, why should you ever get a raise? God damn it. Back the truck through a fucking door. Now look, if you're a cute girl and you back a truck through a door, I might be willing to forgive you because you're cute. But when you're a dumbass who shoots your sperm into random women, which then makes little babies that I have to fucking support through the welfare system, no time for that. No time for that at all. Great one. Are you angry? No, not really. It's, you know, it's annoying, but what can you do, man? What can you do? You just focus on the cute girls. I'm going to finish my beer and go to bed. Thanks for listening. See you cats on the flip side.
What's up, kiddos? I gotta add some stuff to that podcast. It's the next morning. I'm driving my worthless ass over to the IHOP for breakfast. And what's going on here? Okay, who has a light? Okay, additional story number one. I'm in the restaurant bar of the hotel we're staying at. I'm sitting at the bar and listening to other people's conversations. And this guy is talking about how he's on a no-carb diet. And the other guy's talking to him. He's like, well, you just ate all this other stuff. And he's like, wait, you mean that stuff has carbs in it? And the guy's like, yes. And he says, well, I thought only bread had carbs in it. I'm just shaking my head. He's sitting there drinking a beer, and the guy he's talking to is like, yeah, you're drinking a beer. There's carbs in that. And he's like, oh. All right, 12 years of public education. How could it go wrong? And oh, yeah, and we have the internet. Everybody knows everything now because it's on the internet. I thought only bread has carbs in it. Jesus fucking Christ, guys. Before you decide, you're like, I'm going to go on a no-carb diet. Did it ever occur to you, if you're going to go on a no-carb diet, to attempt to ascertain what carbs are and where they're located? No, of course not. I must have seen it on TV. Carbs, they're in bread. If I stop eating bread, I'm on a no-carb diet. I don't know. Anyway, story number two. So over at Weyland-Yutani, we have a thing called the in-house. The in-house, it's a piece of paper that tells us what we're supposed to do on a gig, right? So you get the in-house, and it says, fly truss, stage lighting. I say, okay, I'm going to fly some truss up in the air and put some lights on it. I'm going to light the fucking stage. What the fuck? My God. Advertising is so ridiculous. I was looking at a sign. Anyway, or, you know, the in-house says, entrance swag with upwash. Then we know that Kane is going to build an entrance fucking foo-foo thingy bobber, and then I'm going to put some light on it. So we're looking at the in-house for this gig, and it says on there, bars. And I'm like, okay, so we got to provide some bars. So I go to Dallas. Oh, shit. Where's my turn? It's coming up. 21. There it is. I go to Dallas, and I say, all right, so what about these bars that we're providing? He says, we're not doing any bars. I'm like, okay, even though it says on the in-house that we're doing bars. Not running the bar, but we provide the bar, like the physical bar where the alcohol is served. I'm like, okay. So then Kane comes back to work because Kane had some time off. And Kane comes back and he's like, well, how's everything going? I'm like, oh, it's pretty fucking normal. Everything's a disaster. Nothing is being organized correctly. Nobody knows what's going on. And I asked Dallas about these bars that it says we're providing on the in-house, and he said we're not doing any bars. So you might want to ask him about that again. Because sometimes, I've told you guys this before, Dallas is just like a goddamn woman. When I say he's just like a goddamn woman, I mean he is just like a goddamn woman in every fucking way. And you have to ask him the same question multiple times to get an answer. And if you ask him the same question multiple times, sometimes you'll get a different answer every time. And then he will swear up and down he's never given you a different answer than whatever the last answer he gave you. One of these days, there's this old Dilbert cartoon that I love, where Dilbert was complaining about how the pointy-haired boss would tell him one thing and then tell him another. So Dogbert follows Dilbert around with a video recorder and records everything. And, you know, records the pointy-haired boss telling Dilbert to do it this way. And then the pointy-haired boss comes in, who told you to do it this way? And Dogbert's like, let's roll the footage. That's what I need to do with Dallas. I need to just fucking record everything he says so I can prove to him, no, you tell people different shit. So anyway, Kane goes to Dallas and says, so what about the bars that we're supposed to provide? Dallas says, we're not providing any bars. Okay, so we get here. We're at the event. It's the night before. It's like 8 p.m. the night before. Dallas finally comes rolling in. And prior to this, I go to the house and I'm talking to them. I'm coordinating with them. And we're looking at their paperwork and looking at my paperwork. And their paperwork says, we're providing two bars. So they're providing the other bars. I go to Dallas and I'm like, Dallas, where are the bars that we're supposed to be providing? Because House says we're supposed to be providing bars. And Dallas looks at me and he says, so you mean, he says, fuck, how do you say it? I'm trying to remember the words as exactly as I can. So you mean these bars that everyone kept asking me about are on the in-house, but nobody told me that. And I'm thinking, number one, the person who wrote the in-house is Dallas. You fucking wrote it. It's like Adam Pickett going, what? You mean there's a story about a witch doctor in the book Pushing Rubber Downhill? Well, why didn't anyone tell me this? Well, I don't know, Adam. You wrote the fucking book. You were there. You should know. Right? Okay? He's like, what? There's bars. Nobody told me. Well, you wrote it. Number two, if the bars were not on the in-house, why in the fuck do you think we'd be asking you about it? Well, we don't just make shit up. Because everything we have to do on a gig is more work for us. We don't walk around making up additional work. Fuck no. Hell, I'm always trying to figure out how to get out of shit. It's like, do I really need to light this? Do I really need to put this over here? We really need to do two fucking entrances, or can we just do one? Okay, we don't create extra fucking work. We get paid by the hour, but we also enjoy sleeping. Jesus. All right. Story number three. I forget, this really needs to be in this podcast because it factors in. I told you guys about Parker complaining about the music and also driving the truck through the door. Well, between those two things, the day after the music, so they take the truck back to the shop. They didn't drive it through the door on this particular day. And they're supposed to be loading the truck and bringing the rest of the shit that we need to do this gig. Okay, so I'm not there. Kane and I are still back at the hotel. Dallas meets them at the shop. And Dallas is relating this story to me. And I'm relating it to you. And you're saying, great one. You said Dallas is exactly like a woman. Now you're relating a story he related to you. Do you think the story might be exaggerated? Oh, absolutely. I think the story could be filled. Because again, this is him. This is another example, the womanness. I have actually been there with Dallas when he has told other people stories about things that happened when I was there when the actual event happened. And he will fucking embellish it. I mean the embellishment, shameless embellishment. I'm just sitting there going, I'm listening to him telling this story and thinking to myself, that is not even remotely what happened. And it's not, you know, different perspectives, like one person interprets another person's. It's like if you and I watch the same person, you know, hit their thumb with a hammer, okay, one of us might say, man, that person was really pissed off. One of us might say, nah, that person was peeved, but it was, right? Okay, I understand different people interpret things differently. I am talking about wildly off-base interpretations. Like, he will take things, there were three of these things. He will take three dogs and turn it into 17 dogs. Okay, I'm talking about things that are not matters of subjective opinion. All right. So they're at the shop, and Dallas says to the kids, all right, is everything loaded on the truck? Are we ready to go? They're like, yes. And he looks around, and he sees some of the stuff that's supposed to be on the truck, not on the truck. And we all know this happens all the time because I tell you stories about it. And he's like, okay, so then why is this not on the truck? And then, is this where I'm, no, this is not where I turn. What is this? Oh, that's that. And so Dallas says unto the children, he says, look, obviously, and I love this. Okay, here's something you never say to your employees. I've got to write a book about management. I've got to. He says to his employees, obviously, we are failing you as managers. What could we do to help you do your job better? Now, look, you can say something like that to your employees. You can ask your employees, what can I do to help you do better? If your employees are not fucking retarded. Because I've done this. When I managed employees, I have done exactly the same thing. You can do that if your employees are not retarded. If your employees are retarded, like ours are, they're not my employees because I would be firing. If your employees are retarded, you cannot ask them questions like that and expect to get a useful answer. So he says, all right, so I asked them, what can we do to help you out? And he says, everyone looked at him and they were really quiet. And then the only answer he got was from Parker. And Parker said, you could play better music. And this is what retarded employees sound like. Great one. You couldn't possibly have to do a third session to add to this podcast, could you? Yes, I could. Okay, IHOP was kicking, man. There were so many people there. I'm back at the hotel, and of course, it's crisis after crisis. Okay, so Lambert and who's the other person? Oh, all right, so we fired, or he quit, however you want to figure it out, right? Parker, because he backed the truck through the door, so he's gone. Okay. So we got this other person who works for us occasionally. He's coming in to drive the truck. So he and Lambert show up at the shop to get the truck. Neither of them have a key. Ash has the key to get into the shop. Ash doesn't show up for work. So they're calling here. They're talking to Dallas. Dallas is starting to panic and freak out and all this other stuff. And so Dallas is like, well, there's the key box in the back that has a key to get in the shop. So Dallas calls them up, tells them the combination to get in there to get the key. Well, they open up the box. The key is gone. Because you know who probably has the key? Parker. Because Parker has always been losing the truck keys, misplacing the keys. So I'm sure Parker has the fucking key. So they can't get in the shop. So now Dallas has to drive all the way back to the People's Republic of Fort Collins to unlock the door so they can get into the fucking shop to get the truck to drive here. Now, why they can't just crawl through the broken garage door, I don't know, but maybe no one's smart enough to think about that. And anyway, so Dallas is freaking all out and losing his shit because he's got his own emergency because he's got to go home and deal with his 7 horses. Which, as he always tells everyone, my wife is a horse gal. My wife has 7 horses. Well, you know what? If my wife had 7 horses, I'd be calling her up and say, hey, sweetie, there's a problem with your 7 horses. I guess you'd better go fucking take care of that because I'm busy running my fucking company. And the hilarious part is Dallas is getting pissed off. He's going, why is everybody calling me with all these problems? Well, because you own the fucking company. And because, as Larry Wingate says, if your employees suck, it's because you suck. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, great one, there couldn't possibly be more to this story. Well, there is. We have more information on the backing of the truck through the roll-up door. So Dallas has a chat with the people involved separately. And of course, he had the chat with Parker, and he's, did you drive the truck, back the truck through the door? No, I didn't do it. Well, you did, because here it is. He's like, oh, I didn't notice, all this other stuff. So then Dallas pulls Ash aside and talks to him, and he says, Ash, did anything happen I need to know about? And Ash, to his credit, just came right out and laid it down. Ash said, yes, while we were, after we left the location and we were driving back, we stopped at a liquor store, and on the way back, all three of us in the truck, Ash, Lambert, and Parker, the driver, all three of us were drinking beer and smoking dope. Now suddenly we know it's gone. Those of you who don't live in states where dope has been legalized yet, look, here's the thing, kids. I know some alcoholics. I know people who drink booze and are productive human beings. I don't know a whole lot of dope smokers who are productive human beings. And dope smokers love to say things like, well, but alcohol is a drug too. Well, yes, but alcohol makes you stupid temporarily. Dope, from what I can see, based on the people I know who, because again, now that we're in here in Colorado, you don't have to hide it anymore. It's right out there in the open. So I know the people who drink, and I know the people who smoke dope. And the people who smoke dope are overall, they are, as a group, as a whole, they are fucking dumber. My other favorite thing that dope smokers say, in addition to, well, alcohol is a drug too, is when they say unto me, well, I can smoke dope and still drive, or I can smoke dope and still do this, or I can smoke dope and still do that, or I can smoke dope and still smoke dope, whatever, I can smoke dope and X, Y, and Z because the dope doesn't really affect me. Which I find interesting, because if it's not affecting you, what's the point of doing it? So then Dallas takes Lambert aside and asks her, hey, is there anything going on here that I need to know about? Now, Lambert is the person who one day we're standing there at work. And of course, when you work here at Weyland-Yutani, you sign a little piece of paper that says you understand the drug and alcohol policy. And this is where all the dope smokers go, well, but dude, alcohol is a drug too, man. I don't know. Dude, I don't know why they say drug and alcohol policy. Dude, because alcohol is a drug, man. We all signed the drug and alcohol policy that says you don't do drugs and alcohol at work, and you don't do drugs and alcohol before you come to work. And Lambert is standing there right in front of Dallas, who owns the company, for this, you know, talking about how much dope she smoked that morning before she came to work. Okay, so we're not, once again, dope smokers, we're not dealing with intelligent people. Okay? I have had a beer, sometimes even two, before I've gone to work. I don't fucking announce it. Because I'm not stupid. So Dallas takes Lambert aside. And I'm trying to multitask. I'm on my calendar, where I track whether or not I've got a podcast or a linkage or whatever lined up and going out on the post. I'm now also tracking how many girls per day I do walk-ups on, or what do you call it, approaches, or whatever you want to call it. How many girls each day I talk to with the intent of having sex with them. So I'm tracking that as writing down some numbers from the last couple of days here. Lambert. So Dallas takes Lambert aside and he asks her, is there anything that I should know about what happened that night? And Lambert says, no, I didn't see anything. I don't know anything. He's like, okay, anything you need to tell me? No, nothing. Got nothing to report. No, nothing to report. Okay. Lambert goes off her way. 2 days later, the front door comes open and Lambert comes walking in and goes, I felt bad for the last 48 hours. I lied to you. We were smoking dope and drinking alcohol, and Parker was smoking dope and drinking alcohol while he was driving, and that's probably why he backed the truck into the door. It's like, okay. I mean, you know, now, unlike with a man, with Ash, he just, when asked the question, was instantly honest. You know, women, of course, strong, independent, fish, bicycle, equal, you know, morally superior to men. If women ruled the world, everything would be perfect. It took her 48 hours of feeling bad in order for her to decide, hey, maybe I shouldn't lie. Maybe I should tell the fucking truth. Oh, good job, girls. Good job. Took you 48 hours to arrive at telling the truth. Oh, bravo. You're so fucking equal to me. So fucking equal. So now Dallas has two written, signed statements from the two people in the truck with Parker saying he was smoking dope and drinking booze while driving down the highway and at the end of the destination back to the truck into the building. And so he says, hey, Parker, you want to tell me anything about what was going on? And Parker's like, nope. I just didn't notice. I backed the truck into... I just didn't notice. I mean, he's still fired. He was fired before all of this came to light. It's just hilarious. It is just hilarious to me. This is what I deal with. This is my life. This is what it's like working with other people. Hell is other people, and all jobs suck. Thank God I have a couple of days away from all these people before I have to kill anybody. All right, that's it. No big finish on this one. I just wanted to finish the little story out there and tell that to you guys because I'm telling you, look, the dope. Here's the thing about the dope. And I think this is part of the danger of government and the state being looked to by the normies as the arbitrator of right and wrong. I've talked about this thing before, this whole concept. There's this concept that, well, the government makes things legal and the government makes things illegal, as opposed to just staying the fuck out of things. And when the government, I know this argument's been made by other people, and I think they've made it sort of in a wrong way, in a wrong direction. Because the wrong approach to this, I think, is people say, well, if the government makes something legal, then, you know, people are going to rush out and do it. Because it is legal. To an extent, there's a little bit of truth there, but I don't think that's the big thing. And so to marijuana, for a practical example, people who would not normally smoke marijuana are not running out and smoking marijuana because it is legal. However, the people who smoke marijuana now because it is legal think that they can just do it in flagrant violation of other rules and standards. So, for example, you work at Weyland-Yutani, right? And you're not supposed to smoke dope while you're at work driving a vehicle because you signed a piece of paper that said you wouldn't do that. But you have this idea that, well, smoking dope is legal, so fuck that. I can do it if I want to. Right? You have this idea that because smoking dope is legal in Colorado, you now have this layer of protection. You know, another related story, this friend of mine who, oddly enough, I saw her like 2 weeks ago. I'm walking down the street and she's driving down the street and she's honking, hey, and you know, I hadn't seen her in ages. And She's a dope smoker. And she's hilarious. So, why is my phone going off? She's hilarious. She went to cosmetology school, and that worked out so well that she is now going to college to get a degree in philosophy. Because, you know, that's what all the dope smokers gravitate to is philosophy. Dude, I never understood Nietzsche until I got high, man. Dude. It's like the people who tell me they never understood Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd until they got high. No, Dark Side of the Moon is a great album. It's got some fantastic lyrics, if I can talk. There's a lot of depth there, but you don't need to be high to understand it. You just need to not be stupid. Right? So yeah, she smokes dope all the fucking time. Cosmetology school, and now she's getting a degree in philosophy. Not very bright. And of course, she's getting away with this because, as she informed me, she met a, quote, nice boy, and she's now living with him. And I'm sure he smokes dope, too, but now he's supporting her while she goes to college to get a worthless degree. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, so the dope smoke. So, the story about her. Okay, same thing. So dope is now legal, which means people think they have this degree of protection. She's driving down the road. This was actually back in the days before, what do they call it? Because you guys may not know this if you live in states where dope is not legal. There's two kinds of dope. There is recreational, that's the word, recreational. And of course, they don't call it dope. They don't even call it marijuana. I love this shit. It's like, these are botanicals. These are herbals. Like, no, it's fucking marijuana. Can you call it what the fuck it is? Well, we don't like the term marijuana. We call it hemp. There's all these fucking festivals in Colorado, and it's Hemp Fest. Hemp Fest, Denver. Hemp Fest, Loveland. Hemp Fest, up your ass. Hemp Fest, South Park. Hemp Fest, Fort Collins. Guys, can you call it marijuana? Can you call it what it is? Once again, when you have to change the words, when you're afraid to call it marijuana, you're telling me you know there's a fucking problem. So this was back before. Jesus, what's with all these messages? This was back before. I'm getting distracted. Starting to find, no, who is this idiot? I don't care. All right, it'll be fine. Oh God, what's? Great. More work. Fantastic. Guy, I got to get up Friday morning and be at the theater at 0600 hours. I may have to kill myself. I'll have a few beers before I go in, but I won't tell anybody because I'm not a fucking pothead. Okay. Back in the... There's a great one. Are you going to finish your fucking story? Yes. Hold on. Back in the day before recreational marijuana, this girl had her medical marijuana card. Well, great one. Why does she need medical marijuana? Don't know, don't care. And she's driving down the road and she gets pulled over by a cop for whatever reason. I don't remember if she told me what it was. And the cop comes up and he goes, hey, it's a large amount of marijuana you have there. And she said, yeah, it sure is. And look, I have my medical marijuana card. Because, especially before recreational marijuana was legal, the people with the medical marijuana cards, same thing. I mean, they would just flaunt it. They would fire up in public. They'd fire up in buildings. You know, they fire just wherever they'd fire up. Look, I got a medical marijuana card. I have permission from the government to smoke this dope and fuck you. And that's the problem I'm talking about with the government legalizing things as opposed to, I know the really stupid people out there, which if you're stupid, you're not listening to this podcast. But if you're listening to this podcast, you know the stupid people. They have no, to them, everything must either be legal or illegal, right? There's no concept in the mind of the low intelligence statist of a status where something is simply not recognized by the state as being legal or illegal, right? That is not expressly legal or illegal. For example, right now I am standing in my living room. The Zoom H2 audio recorder is in my left hand. I'm now going to take my right hand, and I'm going to grab my ball sack. I'm now grabbing my ball sack. Now, the government has not passed a law making that legal for me to do that. There is no specific law on the books that says a man is permitted to grab his own ball sack with his right hand in his living room. Now, see, to the statist out there, they cannot comprehend that there is this human endeavor activity that is not either legal or illegal in the eyes of the state, because the average normie is a fucking slave and they need permission from their masters in order to do anything. And when you give them that permission in the form of legalizing marijuana, in the form of, here's your medical marijuana card, you're special, you have permission from the government, they then take something that normally they would just do on their own free time and shut the fuck up about it the rest of the time, and they shove it in everybody's face. And so she says unto the officer, yes, that is a large pile of marijuana, and here's my medical marijuana card. And the officer says, that's fantastic, but you're not in the state of Colorado anymore. And she spent a few days in jail and paid a bunch of money. And she just, well, I have a medical marijuana card. Nobody gives a shit, sweetie. Nobody gives a shit. You're driving down the fucking interstate smoking dope, which is what she was doing when she got pulled over. She didn't just have the marijuana on the front seat. She had the fucking joint in her mouth. Did not even occur to her to take the joint out of her mouth because she had a medical marijuana card. And thus, of course you can drive down the road while you're on the clock, driving the company vehicle, smoking dope because it's okay. Because the government said that smoking dope is okay. And if the government give you permission, you do whatever you want to do. All right. I'm going to have my din-din. I'm going to go out and have a few beers with my friends. I'm sure I'm going to hear something about Donald Trump. I may or may not have to rip some assholes open tonight. I don't know. And what is it? This podcast comes out Wednesday, Friday. Yes, Friday I will be at the theater at 6 a.m., but Friday you will be getting a fresh, toasty new podcast. Not sure exactly about what yet, because I know I got to finish ranting about the collegian, which never comes to an end. And I got some other shit up in the air. Anyway, it's coming. That's what she said.